Okay. Yes, thank you for the introduction. And so we just noticed, actually, that when we looked at our talk again, that we're talking about this advanced mail security and our experience with how to share. We didn't even mention that we're doing it with RSpmD. So we're doing this with RSpmD, and let's start.
So, hi again. We're from Heinlein, Heinlein Consulting, and we're doing the mail projects there together with our colleagues. I want to do a little step back. So, in our first talk, we showed you this slide with an infrastructure. Most of the part is not important now. What I want to show here is that we have when there's an MTA, we also have an RSpmD proxy installed. This is why at every hop we call RSpmD for maybe it has some tasks to do. If it does not have any tasks, we just say okay, pass. This we are doing because we have brought many of our policies into RSpmD. So the old best practice was you install an MTA, you have your rules. Okay, it should not be an unknown domain. No? So the domain should be set up, should not be listed on an RBL. This we have done all in postfix, and over the years we switched all these policy things, all things what have something to do with about spam reputation and or anything into RSpmD. So our postfix today is just a mail router. So and what we do in RSpmD, Bizzlot said something about bias is not perfect. Also, GPT is not perfect. I can say there are many other rules that are not perfect. So our idea is to get many indicators. Indicators means, okay, we have done an RBL check. This IP is listed. We have done some regular expressions and something hit. We have done bias. We have done GPT, maybe. Yeah? There's also neural network inside RSpmD itself. And what we like to do is to find many indicators for spamminess or hamminess, because then we can summarize in the end and have a very good decision if we want to maybe drop the email because it's spam or want to let it through or any other action. This is why we concentrate only on RSpmD here.
Yeah, so what we noticed is that generally when we have all of these indicators like data like RBLs and which has been collected worldwide through spam traps or some old domains or that this kind of what we would consider consolidates this global spam, yeah, and your particular spam is only a small part of that, yeah, and so the intersection with this global spam can vary between 10% to 90% according to our experience, and so what we were looking at is a group of customers which are similar customers, like different universities or different governmental authorities, and their personal spam actually did not coincide. Yeah, and so what we then did notice is that if you look at several within those groups, yeah, like different universities have much more in common, and different also customers within the government authorities have much more in common. Yeah, and this led us think that it would be great to share this experience of what has been already detected as personal spam with peers that have a similar, like where you are the similar target group. Yeah, and so that was the idea on why we came up with this sharing within those groups.
Yeah, what we share for now is fuzzy. We, as Wizard said, so bias is more personal thing. You cannot share it so good. Bias is a statistic. It's statistic over words. They're together in one email, like by Viagra. Fuzzy is a different algorithm here. It's based on shingles, so you can have after running the algorithm, you have the intersect of two texts. So you can Fuzzy can say you those two emails match on in 99%. So maybe one word has changed. So it's perfect to match on a very specific email. Also, this the fuzzy implementation in AskMD was designed for spam traps or honeypots. This is why we have some weight in it. So when you learn maybe one text once, it has a very, very low weight, and it has to cross a specific threshold. You can define it. Maybe let's say our threshold is 30. Then this email has maybe been seen the spam mail 30 times, and then this hash activates. When it activates, the score is growing up to maximum amount. For AspMD, it's typically 12 points from 15, where the default reject level is. Also, Fuzzy has a feature to have different categories. So in bias, you only have, it's on the ham side, it's on the spam side. There's nothing in between. For Fuzzy, you can define your own. Typically, in the default installation, you have spam, ham, and some, I think it's gray something. But you can also do your own like you want, like having another one for bulk emails, for newsletters. Also, you can learn positive things, like emails you get again and again, like typical invoices you get in or something. You can build up those databases there. So, the AspMD Fuzzy Worker, this is the one who is managing all these hashes. And this is a network service. Normally, you would spin up this locally, and you could put in hashes and query it to get the actual results back. The Fuzzy Worker also summarizes and calculates those thresholds, those weights they come in, and saves it to the AspMD typical Redis database. When you run a honeypot, you would use this worker. When you have a local installation, I would definitely, definitely empfehlen.
Oh, recommended.
Recommend you have a look to it.
Yeah. So, what it does is so this fuzzy check plugin is able to not only communicate to one of those fuzzy workers, but actually to many. So, and this gives us this ability that we were talking about. So, Veselot and AspMD also offers a service where you can have this. You can have a subscription of this fuzzy plus or something like that. You can have your own local fuzzy, or
there's also the free fuzzy, which is enabled to do
exactly enabled by default. But if you hit the limits, then you can also have a subscription, and then you can have your own. And then we also thought of the idea of having this as another option, the shared fuzzy. What is important though is that you follow the same concepts and configuration with the people that you share your fuzzy worker with. So for us, it is often easy. We recommend our customers who we have, which are in the same field, hey, by the way, we have somebody else who has a very similar installation, and there it would work well. And because it is very important that you have to avoid to learn false positives. Yeah. One way to learn false positives in the terms of fuzzy is that you use high scoring instead of rejects in RSpMD to stop an email. So let's say I get an EXE file and say, oh, it's not allowed, and I'll give it 99 points. Yeah. Then I will learn the content of the email and not just reject it, and therefore then I have all of the text and that is then learned, and this could then be seen as a false positive.
Mm-hmm. Also, way back here, so it's perfect when you maybe want to use our Ansible routes, because there we have prepared all those policies and everything, where we have all put this in, like an EXE file. When your policy is we don't accept EXE files as attachment, then there's a rule, a forced rule, which rejects it. No? If it looks spammy, it gets a high score. That's the principle of it. Also, we have a little custom script which is doing some more checks which email could be learned and which should be maybe not be learned because it could be a false positive. And on our customer side, so when we have like two universities having rolled out with our Ansible scripts, they have nearly the same policies, and in the end, they have at least the same style of counting spam. And then it's very easy to let both also post in the same database of fuzzy hashes, or what we see later, maybe also other ideas. Yeah, when you have customers or users posting in one database, those thresholds should be higher. When we now say, okay, for personal one, you maybe say it's 30. For the shared one, you go with 100, 200 or something like that. So yeah, so this kind of email should be seen very often at the one part, or should be seen multiple times at different parts. Then it's get activated. The other things what we are very much like to do is to cut the maximum score of different groups. This is very easy in RSpMD. You can say, okay, the group RBL. So when you have a very bad IP, it's listed in spam house, abusix, spam corp, and there and there and there. So those scores would normally add up maybe to 99, the score of 99. So you would learn this email only because it's listed in every RBL. When you have then a false positive in those RBLs, then you learn it just because of that. So this is why we cut the maximum score in those groups. Like here for fuzzy, we have implemented something. The default fuzzy score is 12. The default reject score is 15. So we have done now a group. So all fuzzy databases together, so all those symbols, could have a maximum score of 17. So it's still over the reject level, but there are also other summits which may be lower the score again. And here what we've done, the local fuzzy, what you still learn next to your shared fuzzy, has also a max score with a shared fuzzy for maybe about 13, I think we have now. Another idea would be to share something like IP reputation data. That could be very much data if you shared for every email. So our idea is to maybe use an HTTP API and not post every spam email we got with all its metadata like IP addresses, domains, and what we see. But Aspen has a very nice plugin, very generic and very flexible plugin called Reputation. And in the end, it's nothing more than calculating the median score for all emails seen with this value. And this could be a very good point to share also this data at a centered point and calculate also new reputations out of that.
Yeah, what we have seen also in the previous talks is about that stuff sometimes takes a while, especially also with the LMAs. So users think that mail is real-time communication. I don't know why. we have this need for the deep analysis of potential threats, and the analysis tools are slow or really slow, and so for the CLAM IV it can take more than 10 seconds for a very complex PDF, or we also have some this Office macro stuff that does, maybe we even have a sandbox, I mean, then we're talking about minutes, we want to maybe decrypt and. So despite that there are these specialized open source tools for all of those extra things that are available sandboxing, Office macro, and file analysis, we actually wanted to bring in this concept of a second stage, like that we can't initially already decide if that email is good or not. Yeah. So we're talking about, yeah.
The question is, why is this important? Normally, a normal company is going on the market. Okay, I have checklists to do, I have I need some kind of compliance thingy, and they go to some of the commercial
vendors
for sandboxes, FireEye, or the antivirus. Developers and so on. They all have boxes you can buy. They're pricey, but you can put it in your network, push your mail data, HTTP data in, and they do it for you. What we wanted to do is to analyze emails before accepting the email into my infrastructure, because as long as I reject it before it's reaching my network, It's not my mail. I'm not
responsible.
Yeah. So, and in the end, it's easy to do because we are doing it. We have done it for years, realistically. We are soft rejecting emails just because of their we didn't know their IP address from our database. And the thing is, we are doing the same here. We are doing like a pre-flight check in AspenMD. That could be, if it's fast enough, antivirus. Could be a small local check or something. And if we decide in the end, with all those indicators again, that we want to have a second look, a deep analysis, we post it to this second stage scanner. In the second stage scanner, we can have now those sandboxes, file analyzers, which can also run for minutes. Or here, what we have done, macro offices, long-term GPT runs, queries, all this stuff.
The problem is that the time, and Carsten already explained that we can actually circumvent that by using this gray listing, and that we also, I mean, in RSpMD, users, RSpMD thinks in milliseconds, users in seconds, and So we can already see that here this older tools is already flagged as a, it's a slow, an able slow timer. Yeah, it's more than 300 milliseconds. And so with this idea, we have this possibility of actually doing this thorough scan when needed. Yeah.
So the typical typical soft reject gives us five more minutes normally. And in this time, we can perfectly fine do sandboxing. You can do sandboxing in 1 minute. This is what all the commercial vendors are saying. But there are all those tricks for sandboxing. So like one of those Trojans is doing nothing for the first two minutes or so. Yeah? So you want to invest some more seconds in that. Yeah, that's already said, as I think. So when the email comes back at the second time, we query the second stage scanner again and getting a full report. Based on the on this report, we can then decide what to do with the email. We can still reject it, we can accept it how we like. Yeah, also extracted data could be pushed back into the second scan of AspMD, like IP addresses, domains, address, and everything, and could be then queried again against RBLs and co. Yeah, last slide, it seems. What's the status of this project? We have implemented it, it's running in production. The second stage scanner, let's say, it's a productive POC. It's running nicely, but let's say sandboxing was more effective in the time of Emotet. Currently, we don't find so many threats. We have found not many threats which are not also covered by antivirus software. Yeah. But let's see what's happened in next time again.
Okay. Okay. The question was if we defer mail and keep it while we scan for longer time. So, okay, can I?
If that is legal.
And the question if that is legal comes up. So basically, we haven't decided yet if this actually is a proper email. Yeah. So during the scan process, during the email process, we are waiting until the data, and then we can see if we have the early indicators. And if we haven't decided yet, then we say, we don't know, come back later. And if they're not coming back later, we're not doing anything with that email. It will never be delivered. Yeah. So we will not deliver an email that we say we defer. Yeah. So in that sense, yes?
You defer the mail, and after you defer it, you can keep the data in your memory or somewhere and do something.
Mm-hmm. The question was we defer the mail and we keep the data in our memory. Yeah.
Maybe think of a hard disk which is running full, and the temp file is staying there. It's the same. So when you really want to go into it,
a gray area, maybe.
Yeah. So yeah, but this is about the security.
Okay, so the first question was what fraction of emails go to the second stage scanner? And then the second was if we can share a few words regarding privacy with fuzzy hashes. This is configurable. Yeah, we can see what kind of indicators we want. So definitely, we will not want everything. An email that looks like perfect ham should not go. And these thresholds are configurable, and it is up to us to decide what needs another look. Yeah. The question is, what's the typical order of magnitude for the second stage scanner to be invoked?
So what we have done, we never send attachments which are on the banned list. No? Also, there were many whitelisted ones, like signatures and stuff. And we sent over there what can be has a possibility for being dangerous. Office files, PDFs, and all this stuff.
But you're saying that they use that technique in production, so there's some data off in this
stuff. Percentage of mail is being sent there to the second stage of incoming?
I don't know.
We can get back to you with the statistics there. And the second question, and maybe also the last, because running out of time, will be words on privacy with these fuzzy hashes.
I think you cannot calculate back what the text was. But the privacy is always an issue you have to think about. If you query data against external databases, so when you do query hashes, attachment hashes against the spam house RBL, it's the same. So spam in the end, spam house could somehow could have a view where this mail comes from. If you zip a file and send it to me, and we have both the same RBL, then the site of the database then knows that you have sent me something.
Okay, we have two very quick questions. Maybe I'll
look at the first.
Okay.
So I just have a question for the second stage scanner. Have you considered doing like QR code phishing?
Yes. Yeah.
The question was if we have for the second stage scanner if we considered QR code phishing. Yes.
Yeah. There was all others in QR codes, OCR, and so on. This was with this, what was it called? Cortex, and so on. They are those multi-file analyzers. They have plugins for everything, for like that. Okay. So, yeah.
Some senders generate the body at send time. So if you give them a 400 error, they would come back half an hour later with a different body. Does that throw off your
The question was when the email is generated on the fly and the body is maybe different on the next try when we soft reject the email. The second stage scanner is mostly based on attachments.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.